section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Did Battleground deliver? Surprise returns on Impact, and will Plan C work? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Prince David has signed his WWE contract, but they're waiting on the announcement. It's going to be coming soon, though. What are your thoughts on him?
I think that this is a really good signing. He has been a really big international star for a few years now, and he has a unique gimmick where he comes out with body paint, and he paints himself to look like really interesting things. One of his most famous ones, I think, is Venom or Carnage, you know, in Spider-Man lore. And so he'll paint himself all black, and then he uses the neck to be the opening for the mouth, and it's actually kind of cool looking. So it's almost a Jeff Hardy like. He himself, if I'm correct, is Irish. So he might have a good program with Sheamus, I think, would be pretty interesting, or even maybe with Wade Barrett.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to him. I mean, the thing is that he doesn't remind me of the CM Punk stuff, but he has a lot of people wanting him like CM Punk did. But I believe that his style, because he's toned it down a little bit recently, which I find weird, but it makes sense if he's going to the WWE, because their style's not high-flying, land-on-your-neck type moves. It's pretty much safe moves. I think it's going to be a decent signing. The one thing that really surprised me this week was Davey Richards had some kind things to say about the WWE. Did you hear about all the stuff he said?
I did, but you have some quotes, though, there, don't you?
Oh, yes. And here's the funny part. He said that we'll condense it down. They said they had a 1 week tryout. He didn't want to move down to Orlando. That was his number one thing. And he said that he didn't want to be trained how to wrestle again, because if he hasn't trained and he hasn't got it, then he won't have it. And in a way, I think that's kind of a mean thing to say to WWE, because they're just training you to be a little bit better and safer. I mean, if you look at, you know, Sami Zayn is a great example. Crazy in the ring. Used to do crazy stuff all the time. Tone it down, still over. So you don't need those big moves or those unsafe moves really to be over. You just have to have the personality. Do I believe that Richards has that personality? It's a coin flip on him. I can't say he does. But I don't know.
So I got to say, I actually agree with him. I know that that's kind of weird. I agree with him. One, I don't think it's smart to burn bridges, first of all. But I do agree that, look, he knows how to wrestle. And I really do miss back in the day where you would randomly see a brand new person show up on Raw or on Nitro where you were like, oh, my God, I can't believe that he's there, you know, or he's wrestling. That was something that was so cool that we got a chance to see. But we don't get to see that anymore, because, you know, with Prince Devitt and with Kenta and with, you know, Kevin Steen or Sami Zayn, these are people who are trained athletes who know how to wrestle. And maybe they would go and do a couple of matches in OVW or in NXT, for example, where they would learn how to do, you know, tone it down just a little bit. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what you need to do. You do two matches, and then guess what? You get called up to the main roster. Now, though, I mean, Sami Zayn has been with NXT now for what, 2 years? Year and a half?
A year at least. Because, okay. Yeah. Here's the thing with Zayn, and also, you know, another guy I can't believe is not even on TV is Solomon Crow, but that's a whole different story. You know, if you know how to wrestle, there's some times where the terminology that you use in the ring, that you use in the indies, is not the same as the WWE. They basically, you pretty much have a script. Like, if you're going to do something, this is what we do. You know, if you're going to do drop down, leapfrog, elbow, as the Botchmania stuff says. When you talk in the ring, if you have an indie guy come into a WWE guy, it might be different. And I think that's why Sami Zayn, he has something about him, but he's also, I think, adapted already. It's now like, when are they going to bring him up? I believe that Neville should have been brought up a while ago, but the problem is he's short. The two guys that I believe that shouldn't come up, they do the soft, the WSFT. I can't think.
Yeah, to get back to what Davey said, though,
yes.
You know, I actually do, like I said, I agree with him because I think that in all reality, the Wolves are a tag team that should have not just been on NXT. They should have probably been on WWE TV, and I think that they should have had a contract. The downside is with what he said, while I agree with it, it is burning bridges and potentially causing an issue where he may not be able to go to WWE, you know, in a couple of years.
Here's my thing. When it was WCW and WWF at that time, you had two promotions going at it hardcore. Right now, you have WWE, and then you might, you know, you have TNA and Ring of Honor. And realistically, TNA is trying to get the wars going again, but it's not happening because people aren't watching the show. And that's the thing. If you bring the Wolves over, how many people, unless you're on the East Coast, how many people are going to know who they are? If they're in LA, how many people are going to know, oh, those are the Wolves. Who are they? That's my thing. You have to get them over with the WWE crowd. You start with NXT, and then you bring up the WWE, so... But that's my thoughts on it.
Well, we could talk about this
for the
next half hour.
Yes, we could. But let's talk about WWE program this week. Did the Lesnar spoilers ruin Battleground for you?
From the SummerSlam spoilers. So, of course, this is something that we had talked about. I think we even talked about on the show how they had pictures of Cena versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. And I got to say it did. It really ruined it for me because I really wanted that, like, suspense there where, hey, Orton could win, or maybe Roman Reigns could win, you know, they might do something like that. But instead, because we knew what the main event of SummerSlam was, and we knew that for a week or two, it kind of did ruin the Battleground main event for me. How about for you?
Because I knew Cena was going to retain, because you don't put the title on him and then have him, you know, you can't put a title on someone and then just all of a sudden, oh, you're going to lose at the next pay-per-view. No, you can't. You just can't do that. So I knew he was going to win. But is he going to win at SummerSlam? And the answer is yes.
Oh, really? And why is that?
Because I believe that some way, somehow, Dean Ambrose is not going to be able to stop Seth Rollins from cashing in.
But you're saying that Cena retains.
He retains against Lesnar.
But not against
Rollins.
Interesting.
Because I don't think that could. I don't, because then you can have Rollins versus Cena at Night of Champions, unless they're going to do it where Lesnar gets it for a month, which you can do. But he's only going to work if he wins it at SummerSlam. He's only going to work like two more dates after that, including the pay per view afterwards.
Well, I think Lesnar's probably going to win. To be honest, I think that'll probably happen. But that's another story. He was Plan C. So the Conqueror is Plan C. I gotta say, I was actually really happy to see Lesnar. It's kind of nice to see him back. He has heat, but at the same time, because he's going against Cena, people are cheering for him. And so it's an interesting dynamic there because they want to make him a monster heel. But I think that people just are, they hate Cena enough to say, you know what, we'll cheer for anybody who isn't him, you know? And so that's what they're doing.
Do you think that let's say Lesnar wins? Do you think Rollins will cash in?
No.
Okay.
I think that what's going to happen is that Cena will probably win at SummerSlam, and then at Night of Champions, like in a weird way. And so at Night of Champions, we're going to see Cena versus Lesnar number two, but like no DQ or something like that. So that way they can get the buys up, and then Lesnar will win. Will not be cashing in at all, and they won't even tease it. I think that they're going to wait and they'll have him cash in maybe after WrestleMania because he does have a full year to cash it in.
Okay, so he has a full year to cash it in, but is he going to do like an Edge where he waits, 11 months to cash it in?
Yeah. Because
you remember at one point, you forgot that Edge had it.
Yeah. Here's fantasy booking. you have Lesnar win the title, and then he holds it till WrestleMania, and then, you know, they're talking about having Roman Reigns win the Royal Rumble. He takes on Lesnar at WrestleMania. Reigns wins, and you know, of course, Lesnar, after that big hard-fought victory, Rollins cashes in on his former brother and wins the title.
I don't know about that. So you're saying
talk about Reigns sucking the air out of the room there.
That's the thing, dude. I think you would hurt Reigns by doing it. I really believe that. And plus, when's Daniel Bryan coming back?
Yeah. There's a lot of things. This is also, WrestleMania is a little ways away. So anyway, Andy, I got to ask you. So Jericho and Wyatt, the feud is probably going to continue now. But I got to ask you, were you surprised that Jericho won?
Okay, I was and wasn't. I figured that he would win because he'd have to get that big win. But you have to remember, he's working SummerSlam and Night of Champions now, and then he's done.
Mm-hmm.
What better way? Have him win, and then at the bigger pay-per-view, have him lose at SummerSlam, put over Wyatt, and then at Night of Champions, have Wyatt take out Jericho.
Yeah.
He looks stronger as a heel then. I believe that's what will happen. And that's why he got the win, because then he shows that he's vulnerable, that he can be beaten. And the Wyatts themselves, like with the program they did with the Usos, that's great. But I don't know. Like, I think it actually it doesn't hurt him because the matches were so good. But it does, if that makes sense.
Well, but let's stay on Jericho and Wyatt. So you weren't surprised about it. I was a little surprised because I, you know, you and I both had said, look, let's just be honest here. And, you know, all these are predictable. These people are going to win. These people are going to win. And we actually predicted that the Wyatts were going to sweep. So they were going to win the tag titles and that he was going to beat Jericho. And we were wrong on both accounts. And I think the Jericho one is one that surprised me. I think it was actually a better booking decision to have Jericho win, because Jericho almost never wins. And when you think about it, Jericho lost to Fandango. Fandango lost to Zack Ryder this past Monday on Raw. Therefore, Zack Ryder's better than Fandango. And by the way, Jericho beat Wyatt, so that means that Zack Ryder is better than Bray Wyatt. All right, just going to throw that out there real quick.
Hey, at least he got to use his finishing move for the first time this year.
I know, right? But yeah, so Jericho getting the win, not that big of a surprise. The feud is actually fairly interesting. I'm glad to see Jericho back. I would like to see him in a different feud, though. I like this one, but I kind of want him to move on quickly. Like, I want him to end it at SummerSlam and then start a new one for 2 months. But I know that he doesn't have the time to do so. So unfortunately, this one's going to be a little bit longer and stretched out.
Can we also talk about the fact that his album debuted? It's number 35 so far on the Billboard.
Yeah, I don't care about Fozzy.
Well, I thought it was kind of good. It's a good week for him. He wins and then he gets beat up on Monday.
Yeah, probably is for
that, him. That was taped on Sunday. Miz wins the Battle Royale in a way that, didn't he do this once before where he basically went out the ring and then
this crap all the time? And honestly, it's really annoying because when I saw him go out, I was like, oh, Miz is winning now. Yeah. Like, Miz is going to win. The moment I saw him go out, I said, well, I would put money down on it right now. And obviously when Ziggler won, quote unquote, Miz came back and threw him out, is now the IC champion. Do you like him as the Intercontinental champion?
First off, who has Dolph Ziggler ticked off? Of course it was Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler was the last guy in there. He should have won it. Miz comes in, throws Dolph over. It's over with. Dolph eliminated Sheamus. Why couldn't Dolph just throw him a bone? Please. Instead, I don't know if they did it because they knew that the fans would be hot over it because because the Miz won, that they would be mad. That's the only thing you can think of. But yeah, Miz winning. Okay, I guess you do it because he just came back. Give him the title for a little bit, but
man. Give him a title. Do you think it's time to unify the IC and US title?
I don't want to, but you're gonna have to. And the reason why you have to is there's too many titles. I almost wish they would take one of those titles and put it at NXT just to have down there, not to retire it. because the U.S. title, there's a lot of history. The IC title, there's a lot of history too. I don't want them to combine them, but you kind of have to. But you know, that's just, I guess that's my opinion. So the one thing that I can't believe that they're recycling storylines, but the, was it the Nation of Domination, or Men on the Mission, you know, depending on your, okay, no one got that joke, but so Xavier, well, also they had a thing on the WWE Network where they had their promo, which was hilarious. Anyway, so Xavier Woods is now forming a stable, and he got Kofi and Big E to join. But do you think it's more heelish, the stable?
I'm not sure what they're going to do with this, because Nation of Domination was a heel stable, and it was about, you know, being proud black people. And Xavier Woods came out in almost a little bit of a Malcolm X.
I was just going to say a Malcolm X S type deal.
Yeah. And so a Big E is a fairly decent heel. Kofi Kingston, though, would be interesting as a heel. I think it would probably be really good for his character. It'd be a fresh start. So I'd be okay with that. If that's the route that they go down. You do have other people that you can throw in there. Of course, you have R-Truth would be a good one. Mark Henry, whenever he comes back. So you could have a pretty good stable of characters. And because they're lower mid-card people right now, you have an opportunity here to really help elevate them. Because think about Nation of Domination. You know, it really helped elevate everybody. Rock became a main eventer. Farouk, who he was established in WCW. You know, he was still established in WWE. You had Mark Henry, you know, he became a bigger player. So I think it would actually be smart for them to do this and potentially bring people up.
Is someone going to have a bad catchphrase like Simmons? I'm sorry, Farouk. Damn. Anyways. Yeah, I've always wanted to see what Kofi would be as a heel, because I think at one point I think they tried to turn him, and then everyone was like, no, it's Kofi. So that's what I got out of it, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. I'm looking forward to the storyline. Plus, Xavier Woods, the one thing that he had positive, I mean, he's a good wrestler, don't get me wrong, but he can talk.
Yes,
that
he can.
Is the one thing. So, hey, if you have him as a manager, because, dude, I would love to see managers should make a comeback. He comes out as a manager. He can wrestle as well. It works out, you know. And plus, let's say, you know, the other thing is, let's say in this case, Kofi's a little banged up and they need someone to kind of, you know, wrestle just for tonight. You bring him in. Kofi gets the night off. He doesn't get hurt at all. You know, you could do stuff like that as well. And plus, if you bring R-Truth and Mark Henry in, wow, it's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely. Antonio Cesaro, but just Cesaro. He's no longer a Paul Heyman guy, but what type of guy is he, Aaron?
He said that he wanted to be a Triple H guy.
A Triple H guy? So authority? Isn't Sin Cara a Triple H guy?
Do you remember when Cesaro was getting that monster push and then they decided to, I don't know, throw it down the drain for whatever reason? I'm lost for words here, what they're doing with Cesaro, because I'm confused. I really am confused. They were pushing him, and then they had him just start losing match after match after match, like he wasn't hot. And I thought that he was. The crowd was behind him, and then they just kind of stopped. Like, WWE stopped showcasing him. You know, they stopped giving him airtime in favor of Roman Reigns, it seems. Are they mishandling him? Are they... is he not hot anymore? Like, what's going on?
It's because of Daniel Bryan. I believe that Cesaro was going to wrestle Daniel Bryan here shortly. Even it could be October, or it could be November, or even at Survivor Series. I believe that's what that Daniel Bryan, I believe, hurt Cesaro. And I believe he hurt some guys down at NXT as well, because I think they would have been called up to wrestle Daniel Bryan because they've wrestled Daniel Bryan. I'm sorry, but I don't know if Steen and Daniel Bryan have wrestled, but I would love to see that match, especially if they said do whatever, including pile drivers. But I believe that Daniel Bryan has hurt Cesaro, and I believe because of that, and they don't know when we don't know when Daniel Bryan's coming back. I mean, for all we know, he could be fine now. But he's
so you're saying that with Bryan getting hurt, Cesaro was going to have a program with Bryan at some point in time.
I believe so. And because of that, they're like, well, we don't know what to do with you now because it's Daniel Bryan's fault. That's what I believe that happened. And Cesaro was, I think he's still hot too, but they're almost like, you know, we're going to have you wrestle on Superstars, I think, is what I'm waiting for. I'm pretty much waiting for that to happen any day now, any moment.
I think that they have mismanaged him very poorly over the past month. And, you know, this past Raw was a little bit better. He had a match with Dean Ambrose that was really good. And he had it again on SmackDown. But I really hope that this next Monday, and I hope in the coming weeks that they do a better job. He should be at the pay-per-view. You know, he should have main event matches there. And he's not. And I think that's really, really bad. Should be doing.
All right. So just out of curiosity, do you think Battleground was a thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle?
In the middle.
Okay. What was the worst match?
That's a tough one.
I actually, as much as I like Paige and I think she's a great wrestler, I believe her match with AJ Lee stunk. I think it stunk big time. Big time. So overall, that pay-per-view, you know, I'm glad that we have the network, because if I would have paid for it, I would have been very, very disappointed. So
it's not a pay-per-view I would have paid for.
No. So anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So let's talk Impact Wrestling this week. So who made their return, Aaron?
So your boy Low-Key, or Senshai, or Caval, or whatever the hell he wants to call himself, he made a surprise return, and he got a... I gotta ask you, wasn't he retired at some point in time?
Well, he said that he was retired. That's the thing. He said he was retired, but guess what? He's not, because he must need the money. That's why I believe that he's back. You know, all right. Low-Key's back, and he's using his name Low-Key. What do you go by at one point? Senshi
or something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But the point is that, yeah, he's back. And you know what? That's great. He's back. Okay, you had him come back at, you know, a perfect spot. Okay, that's fine. Let's move on. I could care less.
I like him, and I'm glad that they had... I really like that they've been bringing back former X Division wrestlers. And I really think that they've been putting on really good programs with them. I would like to see a longer run with this. You know, we do know that Austin Aries is going to cash in his contract, you know, his title for a shot at the title. And I think that this is a perfect opportunity. You have Low-Key there. Have him with a run at the X Division title. Have him just do like a 6-month run. Not even 6 months. Have him do like a 3-month run, you know? And he goes through and he has fun with their current X Division roster. That's what I would do.
All right. But, you know, the one thing I was surprised about is that we saw someone on Ring of Honor TV recently, and now we see him on TNA TV. And who is that, Aaron? Is it?
That is your boy,
V1.
Fat Hardy. I mean, Matt Hardy.
Oh, gosh. Come on, dude. He's still there.
I know. So Matt Hardy, he comes out with Jeff, and it turns out that they're going to be taking on the Wolves at Destination X. What do you think?
Well, yeah. Okay. It should be a decent match, but this would have been a good match if they were 5 years younger. That's really about it. Well,
obviously they're older, but it's not like they're past their prime. You know, it's not like Sting versus Undertaker. I mean, that's not what this match would be. It would be like, you know, Rock versus Cena. You know, Rock's past his prime, but he's not in bad shape.
But still, I mean, Matt and Jeff Hardy, the Hardy boys, were awesome.
And so then, you don't want to see this match?
Yeah. It should be decent. But it would have been better 5 years ago. And I don't have a problem with Matt Hardy because, you know, he's a free agent. But I also have an issue with Matt Hardy the way he treated Ring of Honor. Because you can't go to TV to TV to TV. He may not go back to Ring of Honor, and realistically, TNA won't be able to afford him.
I actually think that this is smart.
Well, maybe
I think that this is really smart.
Maybe for TNA, but he burned a bridge with Ring of Honor, I believe.
No, I think that this is smart for both. If he goes back to Ring of Honor, like if they have him on their next TV tapings, you can say, yeah, this is Matt Hardy, you know, Hardy Boy. He just teamed up with Jeff. You saw him on TV. He was just on TNA TV, and now he's with Ring of Honor TV. You can actually have a lot of fun with this. And, you know, I think this would really be great cross-promotion opportunity for TNA and for Ring of Honor to do stuff like this. But, I mean, that's a whole different subject
that we could dive into. Who benefits more, though? That's the thing. Would Ring of Honor benefit more, or would TNA? Because I believe it's
probably
TNA.
Probably Ring of Honor, I think, would benefit more.
Oh, no. I believe it'll be TNA. Because Ring of Honor has a core group of fans. And if you can get a couple of those people to watch Impact, if they're not, because I guarantee you that most of them don't. They watch WWE and Ring of Honor. I don't believe they watch all three.
I think if somebody watches Ring of Honor, I think that more than likely they watch TNA as well, because they're probably a wrestling fan. I only watch Ring of Honor, or I only watch Ring of Honor and WWE. Because more than likely, if they watch Ring of Honor, they're probably not going to want to watch WWE. They're probably going to say, no, that product sucks. I'm going to only watch Ring of Honor. But
anyways.
Andy, weekly topic. We'll just go through this real quick. I got to ask you, you know, NXT has been around now for a couple of years, and there have been quite a few people who have been called up to the main roster recently. Now, we can talk about the Shield and the Wyatts. I mean, they were a group that was called up. I think it was a little different, though. So instead, I kind of want to focus on singles stars. And so I got to ask you, out of the list I have here, and I believe that this is everyone that's been Adam Rose and Big E, out of those, who do you think has been the most successful?
Out of Xavier Woods, Bo Dallas, Rusev, Adam Rose, and Big E?
Yeah.
Rusev. Adam Rose was way too soon. I can go in detail about that and how they screwed up his character. But Rusev is the one that's the best so far because of what they're doing with him. Okay, let's say that U.S. was at war with Russia, this would not happen. I can guarantee you that they would not do it again because they had a lot of backlash. And yeah, I don't think they can do that. Rusev is the best. And I think the reason why he's succeeding is because of Lana. That's the real reason why, because she's speaking for him, because he can sort of speak, but you're protecting that. You're taking basically the negative thing he had and you're letting her be the mouthpiece, which is fine. Let her be that way. But, you know, after that, I would actually have to say Big E, but Big E's a weird one because when he got trained with WWE, his wrestling style is so good, and the little things that he does that made him better. Just small things. Like the best way to explain it is when you get him down and you're in a pinning temp, and basically to help each other out to basically roll out of the pin. I can't even think what it's called. Basically, if it was a sit down power bomb and you put your feet on the guy's shoulders and you're holding him that way, most guys will put their hands on the boots, like in Wrestling World Diaries, and push off of each other. Big E does it, and you could see other people who aren't doing it. Simple things like that.
So sounds like for you,
it's more technical to me.
Rusev is your number one guy. You're like, you think that he has been the best that's been called up, but you're saying that Adam Rose is probably the worst.
And here's why. They screwed up his character. He was hot when he came out. And I said it's because of the World Goes Wild song. It's because people know that song. You pay to have it. Just pay the royalties for it. When he came out with his new song, people weren't as big as they were. And then all of a sudden, they're like doing promos for him. Come on.
You think that the only reason that he has failed is because of his song?
Because it got people that are like, oh, I've heard that song. And like, there's a lot of like... hockey teams, that's what they use, especially like in CHL.
You think that a song is the reason?
I think
he was
a
over.
Song, because if you have something that's hot and then you have to change it, like in this case, he was hot, and then
I'm telling you right now, that song is not the reason he was over.
I believe that song is not.
Punk was only over because they had the one song that played for him. Let me explain this a little bit better.
Okay. All right. I believe the reason why he was over is because people were like, oh, I know that song. But then he made it work for him, and he did simple moves that people are like, oh, that's cool. And then he comes to the ring, he wrestles a decent match, and then he leaves playing that song. And then that song gets stuck in your head, and you keep thinking it over and over again. You're like, well, goes wild. And then he did this like championship belt type deal for his move. That stuck in my head after watching that match. It was in my head.
That is like, not why he was over.
Okay, well, then
that
why
was
he
not
over?
At all.
Why was he over?
He was then? Over because of his entrance.
That's the part of the entrance is the song.
No, that isn't. Your the entrance is very different.
Oh, it's
the reason he was over. The only reason that he was over is because his entrance was very unique, and we have not seen anything like that before. We had not. There was never anybody who came out with a party group like that and was very flamboyant in there, and he was. And so that's the biggest reason why he was over at NXT is because it was something very, very, very different. And people saw the response, and they said, you know what, we need to get him on Raw. And so that's what they did, and he failed because it's in a larger audience that they were like, what is this crap?
All right, okay. I see your point, but you're still wrong. no matter how I try to explain it to you.
You're telling me a song is the only reason. Hold on.
What?
If that Santino song, do you think Santino would have been over?
No. Santino is over because of the character. Now, okay, granted. Okay, you can say that Adam Rose was over because of the entrance, but I also believe the song had something to do with it. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I think the song had so little to do with it.
We're not going
to
talk
fun.
About this right now because I can go on and on about it. Anyways, so yes, Adam Rose is the biggest flop. After that, I would have to say Bo Dallas because I know he's still a heel, but Bo Dallas doesn't really do it for me. It's comical, but he's delusional. It was funny at NXT. I don't know if it's really translating. So...
I didn't get a chance to see him really at NXT. I really only got a chance to see him when he's been on the main roster. I like the Vance that they put for him. And I also think that he does a pretty decent job. The only thing I really hate, though, is that it seems like every single one of the NXT stars has an undefeated streak. And that really just annoys the crap out of me. Bo Dallas, though, I actually think that you could have some fun with him. I think that you can do some really interesting things. You need to keep him in the lower mid card though for now. You know, have him be that like kind of annoying little brother almost.
Hey, little buddy.
I mean, he obviously is for Bray Wyatt. You know, he's the annoying little brother. But I think that that's what you need to do with him. And I actually think that out of all of these, he might be the one that could potentially be the dark horse to be around for a long time and succeed in the long run.
I don't know about that. I believe long run, I believe that Big E has some potential because of his look.
I don't think Big E's going to be there in 5 years, personally. I actually think that Big E will probably be gone in a couple of years. Yeah.
You think 2 years that Big E's gone? All right.
I shouldn't say he'll be gone. He will be in obscurity land.
All right. If you feel that way. What about Rusev?
He'll probably be around for a few years, but I don't know long-term what you can do with him.
All right. Now, what about the Shield? Actually, when they formed, those guys were still wrestling separately in NXT, which I thought was really interesting. But also, remember, Rollins was the first ever NXT champion, and he lost to Big E. And Bo Dallas was a champion. So do you think, and actually all three champ, all the four champions, three of them are called up. And the only one who hasn't is, gosh, I can't think of his name.
Neville.
Thank you. So do you think that he's the next one to get called up?
Yeah, maybe. I think that that's a good chance now for him.
And the Wyatts, they were together. That's the one thing. They were together in NXT. And they were the powerhouse down there. They just stole the show. And I believe it's because of Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt, I don't think that's how he is. But the fact that he delivers it like that, he would be the one that, of everyone that's in wrestling, I think he could be a great actor. But a psycho. Like, I believe Kane would have been, is still, could potentially be a scary, like, in a scary movie, like, See No Evil 2. He could potentially steal it if they allowed him to. And I think that Bray Wyatt, to me, is like, cuckoo. Like, if he starts a clan thing, like, even more with the Wyatts, I will be so happy, because that's hilarious. Especially if they did something where they killed off his character, where only two of them drank the Kool-Aid, which would be kind of funny. But anyway, so yeah, basically everyone on the list, they've made it to their main roster, and they've done pretty good. I can't really think of any flops so far besides Adam Rose, but yeah. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.